Good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellison Show. I sincerely appreciate you tuning in. As always, if you've missed any of the 4.5 hours of gold, I tell you, you can always go out to WSAU.com/podcasts. And it's all out there for your listening enjoyment. Share it with others. Share the love when you can. I am delighted to have joining me again on this Wednesdays with Wendy, or Wendy's Wednesdays, whichever you want to go with, from Uncover DC, investigative journalist Wendy Mahoney. How are you?
I'm great, Meg. How are you?
Good. Wendy with an I. I'll never, ever forget that.
And you got Uncover DC.
Yes, I know.
Kudos.
I have something in front of me that tells me to say that. Not from you, but I just...
Were you practicing?
Yes, I
you
was. Yes, I was practicing.
Yeah.
Yes, I was.
You did your homework.
Right.
Yay.
Well, speaking of homework, I know that obviously you spend a lot of time investigating different stories and different topics. And, I guess this one, we could say it hits close to home because you live in Tennessee. And you live in Nashville, don't you?
I do. Yep.
Oh, man. And, there's just something about Nashville that I love so much. Whenever my husband and I decide we're going to go somewhere, it's usually Nashville. We hit Broadway. Do you ever go to Broadway anymore?
Not really, but I know why people go. It's fun.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's just something, in a way, sort of surreal about it. I mean, as you make your way down Broadway and there's, establishment after establishment has a band. Are you a big music fan?
Yeah. We don't go out very much though.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, especially during the week, I don't know. But I mean, it's not as if you miss anything. Like, let's just say, oh shoot, I didn't go out last Friday or last Saturday. You can go out on a Tuesday and you'll see probably the same bands that are playing on the weekends. Maybe, but it's there. But I love it because I really love music. So that's kind of my thing. Thus, the Music City.
A lot of people get their start here, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is that where you got?
And I know.
Did you get your start there? Just kidding.
Yeah, I did. I got my start here. Famous.
All right. Well, famous or infamous, I always like to go with the latter because I like to be called infamous. But so anyway, speaking of Tennessee, speaking of Nashville, I know that one of your most recently published articles talks about a bill that will limit the FBI's reach. Is this a good idea or what?
Yeah, and I hope that other states start stepping up on this stuff because it is very important. It's important stuff. I was going to try to go down there, but the parking is so difficult, and I figured it would be full because of the people testifying. But in any case, is very important to limit the FBI at this point. I mean, and this bill, what it does is it limits their kind of infringement on like non-criminal kinds of cases. I mean, as Steve said in his testimony, it doesn't impact cases on terrorism, et cetera. However, and criminal, like drugs or whatever. But he made a good point, which I hadn't really thought about. I knew it, but I just hadn't thought about it in the same way. It's tough because they have expanded terrorism to mean, pro-life protesters or J6 people. And making that line very clear and making sure that local law enforcement trumps federal law enforcement. For example, Bond's testimony was particularly powerful because, this guy was counseling people outside of abortion clinic. And I mean, you can have your own opinion on whether you're strictly pro-life or not, but that's First Amendment protected stuff that he was doing. And instead of you know, he lives in a small, a relatively small town, I think Mount Juliet or near there. And here he is exercising his right to free speech. And, you know, he owns a business there and he's had a farm there for a number of years. And I don't know. I mean, back in the day, you know, the sheriff would show up your door and say, hey, you know, what's going on? You know, we're getting some publicity here. You know, the FBI is on your tail. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, that everything's on the up and up. And instead, because of the unique position that the FBI has, you know, that it's privy to certain information that maybe local sheriffs are not, the FBI shows up on his doorstep, you know, with his 11 children inside and drags him out of the house. And I mean, and this has happened to many, many J6ers and several, you know, there was the Houck case. I think that's how you spell, pronounce his name, in Pennsylvania. Same thing. You know, the guy had, I think he has 10 children. And he was outside an abortion clinic and some guy with his son, and some guy walked up to his son and started, I think, bullying him. And Houck, you know, kind of stepped in between him and I was like, hey, pal, you know, back off. And, you know, he actually ended up winning his case. I wrote an article on, I think I linked it in this article from yesterday. But in any case, you know, we have to kind of get things back to local jurisdiction where we can. I mean, that's the whole point of really the MAGA movement. I think it's one of the biggest points. It's getting people to step up in their local towns and communities and bring things back to local control as much as we can, because it's really going to be hard to address the federal government. It's such a behemoth at this point.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know, terrifying is the right word, but it's interesting how only certain let's face it, only conservatives are targeted. You know, I mean, I guess I can't say only or exclusively, but are pro-abortion groups targeted by the FBI, like those who are pro-life?
I have not seen that. In fact, I forget the name of the organization. I can't remember it. But, you know, they go around basically terrorizing people. You know, it's an organ. I can't remember the name. And I'm not aware of any of those guys being, you know, being targeted or arrested. And I mean, even in J6, I mean, looking, I did an article, I think I told you this, on the contrast between what happened to J6 defendants and what happened to the people who rioted in cities across the country in 2020. And I don't think any of those people are in prison. I think a few were arrested, but they got out. I mean, look at how Andy Ngo was beaten up. Those guys got out of, you know, they got off with nothing. It just sure seems like that. I actually tried to do some research on it, and I could not find any evidence of people on the far left getting prison sentences. And they also have people like Kamala Harris stepping up for them, raising money to provide bail for them. And, you know, that is part of the issue, is that, you know, we don't have a lot of, like, big donors stepping up on our side, whether it's for lawfare or, you know, protecting J6ers. I mean, I don't know what we have on our side, but, you know, we don't seem to have a lot of people with guts. And, I mean, that's the main reason I like Trump, is because at least he has cojones, you know, his guts to fight things and speak up. As much as I think sometimes he should keep his mouth shut. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think there are times when he should just say, you know, maybe I don't need to say that, but I'm not worried about it. It doesn't offend me. It's just, you know, sometimes I think he's just not smart.
Right. You know, I think the group that you're referring to is Jane's Revenge. Does that sound familiar? And
That's it.
It's a militant extremist abortion rights group that encourages and claims responsibility for acts of essentially terrorism.
That's
They did, I believe they took responsibility for the bombing of a pro-life group in Madison. I'm trying to think of how long ago it was.
That's the group.
Yeah. And I mean, but it's interesting how, you know, and as you pointed out, too, even the those who committed acts of violence and, well, destruction, damage and destruction during the George Floyd protests, where was the FBI? I don't recall any kind of investigations.
Nowhere around.
Ongoing investigations or people that are perhaps still in jail for their illegal actions. And it just, it seems to me that it's a double standard. And, you know, it's frustrating because that's yet something else that we have to, I mean, as conservatives, we have to be aware of that because, you know, how much longer are we going to have as conservatives freedom of speech and the ability to push back and to criticize or be critical of our government and the decisions that are being made on which are not on you know which are not for the best or they're not going to improve our lives in any way.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is because I think on the conservative side, we're not courageous enough and we don't band together as forcefully as we might, maybe should. We're not vicious enough in our convictions. And the far left is, I mean, they're fighters. You know, they really are.
Yeah,
so,
it's and I mean
know
that's
what the solution is
right.
That,
well, other than you know, I guess we have to be prepared to and you know within the letter of the law. Of course, I'm not encouraging any illegal activity or any kind of violence of any sort. But I mean, we have to be willing to be courageous, as you know. And I don't know if I'd give the left as much credit for courageousness as I am. They're obsessed with power. And they're obsessed with the, I think tyranny. I mean, I do believe that those on the left want to control our lives and want to be able to determine how our money is spent. And, you know, and we have to, I mean, as individual citizens, we have to be willing to speak out and get a little uncomfortable. I know I've had the vice chair of the Dane County, which Dane County represents or is part of the Madison area, Dane County Republican Party. And she's actually, I would give her credit for coining the phrase, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. We have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm in some groups, you know, who are fighting, you know, who are working on these voter registration rolls around the country. And one of the groups that I'm in, it's big, and I'm not going to name it just because, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but, you know, that right now they have a lot of data and it's all internal and they're doing great work and uncovering a lot of stuff, but they don't want to publish a lot of it until they have, I guess, lawyers and lawsuits. And I kind of understand the strategy, but I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of them won't get representation anyway, because A, there's not a lot of lawyers who are willing to fight that battle. They know that they've got groups like Common Cause and Fair Fight, you know, Demos, all these groups that can, you know, come after them. But, you know, what the left does is they make all of it public. They fight for it all along the way. They gather steam and get lawyers. I mean, we really do have to be, look, if we've got the facts on our side, let's get it out there. I mean, my sister did that in Maryland. She actually brought a lawsuit against the Maryland Board of Elections. I mean, she's did an incredible job. I mean, you should actually interview her. She's just done some amazing things in Maryland. She did a canvass. They worked on it for a year. Then she hired a guy, a volunteer, who works with the government and intelligence, one of the intelligence agencies. He looked at the voter rolls. They examined everything. I actually have written several articles on it, their whole process. And now they're suing the Maryland Board of Elections. And they'll try to dismiss it. But all along the way, she's made her data public. I mean, and that's the way you've got to be. You've got to be aggressive. You have to be balls to the walls on this stuff. And, you know, Catherine Engelbrecht is a great example. But, you know, she sued. She pays the price all the time for it. She's actually a good friend of mine. I see her take it on the chin all the time. But if we don't have more people like Catherine out there, we're not going to make progress. And it's one thing to uncover things and get the data. Everybody knows the voter rolls are dirty. That's not news to anybody. What we have to do is do something about it. And the way to do something about it is bring lawsuits and do what the left does. And we just, there's too many people who don't want their lives overturned. And the only way to get things done is just to throw everything you can at it, go all in, understand that you might be attacked, people might call you names, people might show up at your door. It's what we've got to do. We are dealing with a very vicious enemy and a smart enemy, very strategic. So,
their sole motivation is to take control, is to have the power, and that's what inspires them to get up every morning. And I always say this about the left, is that they're like sharks. They're always circling. They're always scheming. So before we run out of time, do you have time? I know you're busy. Do you have time to hold over for another segment? Okay. All right. So we don't have to go yet because we have a couple minutes, but I know we can at least touch on that other recent article that you published. Mm-hmm. Illegals is just a infuriating topic to me. And I mean, there's only one reason why the Democrats are leaving our borders wide open, and it's to create a new electorate so that they can replace us.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think, I used to think, oh, that's just ridiculous. They can't be doing that. But now, I mean, it just seems to be incontrovertible evidence that that's what they're trying to do. There's no other reason you would leave our border as open as it is to everyone. And I think we've had about 10 million come over our border, or just the Southwest border alone, since Biden took office. So it's just awful. And it's so dangerous. So dangerous.
Well, I just, for the first time in my life, probably there those listening that are going to laugh, and maybe you will as well, but I just got a passport. And there was, prior to, I had my tonsil surgery, I was in discussions with a friend, and I was going to go to Europe overseas, and I didn't have a passport. So I got a passport, and I think about the identification that I had to provide in order to get a passport. And it wasn't just my driver's license. It was my birth certificate. Yeah. And I had to provide the birthplaces of my parents and my parents' birth dates. And I mean, it's quite a process, but I got my passport. Well, so, several weeks later. So, this article that you just wrote about, I mean, this is just very recent news that from two TSA director and Republican Representative Mark Green from Tennessee, chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security, TSA is reportedly allowing illegals, I'm going to just say, without verifying identity documents. So American citizens have to have some form of identification all the time in this country. And if you leave this country and come back, you have to prove that you are an American citizen in order to get back in the country. But If you're an illegal coming from another country, maybe up to no good, likely up to no good, or coming with your hand out, you don't have to provide any documentation about who you are.
Yep.
So they can create.
And I have examples of the paperwork that they're required to show. Do you want to talk about it after?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, well, let's do that. Thank you. So I am, of course, it's Wendy's. It's Wendy's Wednesday, or Wednesdays with Wendy from Uncover DC. We shall return after this brief news break on the Meg Ellefson Show on WSAU. Stay tuned.